Welcome to Quantum RX, the podcast that teaches you how to move beyond stuck emotions and trauma for mind, body, and spirit healing. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Davis. Today is going to be an interesting one because we're going to be talking about authenticity. And I have so many feelings surrounding this word. It's not that I hate it, but I hate buzzwords or words that are co-opted for clicks. And I feel like that happens so often now. There are so many people who show up, you know, on the vast internet and social media that use words like manifesting and mindfulness and authenticity. And they're doing it for clicks. They're doing it because they're, I don't know, I can't speak for other people. It appears that they're intentions are not always, I don't want to say pure, but they're not coming from the right place. And you can tell, like a lot of the people who try to be really dramatic or the people who try to, you know, they go in, they make a spectacle of themselves. There's this one person in the health space that he'll like go into the grocery store and like start throwing produce on the ground because he's more of a, you know, animal-based, or I don't think he's truly carnivore, but he does stuff like that just to get clicks and express outrage and just keep on going down that. Like, that is not me. It's never going to be me. It does not resonate for me because I feel like when you're doing that, even though that's how you feel when you try to push it out there like that, that's very masculine, very driver, very, it feels like I'm going to shove this down your throat. Like recently, a few people have sent me some podcasts to watch. And literally within a couple minutes, I would say one of them, it wasn't even a minute. I couldn't even listen to it because the person was just so incredibly over the top and pushing and like literally like just throwing this stuff at you. And I was like, that's not the way that I operate. Like, I know a lot of people who are in this greater health space. I've been in it for 20 years and there's definitely, you can tell the people who have done the work and sit in their own authenticity and their strength. And then the people who are doing things just for clicks and to be controversial or to be like extra, you know, that is not me. And I also, this is my opinion. As always, this is my own opinion. And that doesn't mean it's right. It's just where I'm coming from. The people who are kind of like a little bit extra and a little dramatic and how they present themselves, like that just does not resonate or jive for me. And I think that they do need to do some work. So that's how I get frustrated when I feel like I said before, the words like manifesting and mindfulness and authenticity, like people are using that terminology for clicks. And I would say the most frustrating piece of it all is that the words themselves and what they mean almost become diluted and watered down. And you can feel it in how their messaging is and the message and the energy that's conveyed when you watch or listen to their information. You know, I can tell in a second when somebody is being authentic, even when they are presenting a controversial or counter stance. You know, it's very different when somebody's doing it just to be controversial or when somebody is doing it because that's how what they truly believe. It was interesting because last night I was watching one and I mean, the title, because it was on YouTube, was kind of, it's skewed clickbaity. And unfortunately, that is what works on YouTube. So that's what people put out there. And I mean, truthfully, that is what my podcast titles and my YouTube titles are often different. And that's just because the people who are running the actual production of the podcast, they're like, this is what works. And that's fine. You know what? That is fine. And I own that. And I'm okay with that. Even though that doesn't totally sound like me, I'm okay with the fact that there are certain things that grab our attention, because I'll be the first to admit there are certain things that grab my attention too, which is why I listened to that podcast last night. And I know the system and I know the algorithms. And I was sitting there and I was listening and it was kind of funny because I was like, okay, I'm like, I'll hear what this guy has to say. And he was presenting a very controversial stance. He was speaking out. He was basically talking about how Mel Robbins kind of grabs your attention and sucks you in and uses some very carefully crafted languaging to make you feel like you're her friend, blah, blah, blah. And I got what he was doing. And yes, she is very intelligent and she does do certain things. But what I will say is that was his opinion. She very well might be using certain language and certain tactics intentionally. But the way that he was presenting it was, you know, kind of in a contrarian way. But it was interesting. I wanted to listen to it because I honestly 100% feel that that was what he felt. It wasn't like he was trying to be controversial on purpose. And he owned it. Like, he owned it the whole way through. It was like 30 minutes. I tend to listen to a lot of things on 1.5 speed or 1.75 speed. So, you know, I got the gist of everything he was saying. So it was interesting. It was very different than like the guy who goes into the grocery store and starts slamming vegetables on the ground just because, right? But yeah, just to get back to authenticity, the true definition of authenticity is being true to one's own personality, spirit, or character. And I love that because I believe that that is us showing up as the truest expression of ourselves, and it's a gift to the world. And I mean, really, at this point in life, I think many of you who've listened to this podcast know that I turned 50 this year and I changed a lot. Like, I had a massive reckoning towards the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And I really, really only care about showing up as myself. And I'm going to share a story with you guys about something that happened when I was in Austin, probably how many years ago was that? I think it was the second time we were there. I want to say it was, my daughter is going to be 8. So it was probably in the ballpark of, it was either 7 years ago or 9 years ago, because it was either right before or right after her. And a lot of the events I go to, or used to go to, I should say, for functional medicine were in Austin. And I'm going to share that story with you in a minute. But what I want to highlight really quick is the three main things we're going to talk about today. We are going to talk about what we're going to unpack. We're going to unpack what authenticity is and what it's not. We are going to discuss a 7-step inventory to assess how authentic you are currently and uncover some areas that you can focus on if you're not in alignment. And the last one, it's a gem. It's a hidden truth about authenticity that people ignore, but it makes a huge, huge, huge difference on your personal journey. We're going to identify what that is. If you're curious as to if you have any stored emotions or trauma that might be causing your illness, preventing you from achieving your goals, or even showing up as the best, most authentic version of yourself, I invite you to take my free stored emotions and trauma quiz, and you will find that link in the show notes. So, welcome again. Let's get back to that story about Austin. Like I said, I've been to at least 3 kind of, back in the day, it was functional medicine trainings, and they were in Austin. And the last one I went to, it was really interesting because normally what happens at these events is, you know, you go, you do your learning during the day, and then everyone tends to go out at night. And I'll be the first to admit, sometimes that is overwhelming for me. I am, like I said, I think many of you know, inherently introverted. And like, it's a lot for my energy. And especially at that time, because I was also, that was when I was doing the consulting for lab and supplement companies. And at the time I was the research director consultant for Living Matrix, which was a functional medicine platform that practitioners use. But on the back end, we also did a lot of research. We worked with a lot of the lab and supplement companies to develop research studies, analyze their data. I did all sorts of things, help give input on, you know, like the ingredients and supplements, a lot of different things. So I did a lot of things. But one thing that I did was I would go to the conferences, and not only was I an attendee learning, but I also, during the breaks, when normally people would have downtime to either go to the vendor halls or take breaks. And just, you know, sometimes they're at cool places like Austin. You could go outside and walk around the city or walk, you know, to the bridge. I didn't get that opportunity. I was working. So during the breaks, I was always, you know, representing the company. I was talking to practitioners about the software or talking to other companies about what we could help them with. So like, I never really got downtime during that. So a lot of times I would be gassed at the end of the day and I would want to go back to my room, but I knew I had to eat. So I would end up going out to like dinner with some of the other attendees, and a lot of them are my lifelong friends. So a bunch of us went out one night to a restaurant in Austin that is pretty, it's pretty popular because it's owned by somebody who is on the Food Network. And I don't know how many of you guys are from Austin, but yeah, somebody on the Food Network owned this restaurant. So it was like a hot place to go. It was good food, and it was a good time. There was probably a group, I want to say there was like 8 of us. And it was interesting because, you know, we had a really good time, everyone just kind of hanging out and connecting. And as we were leaving, one of my friends who is, I want to say she's probably 8 years older than me now. She's closer to 60 than she is to 50 because actually when we were at that event, she had just, I think it was right around her turning 50. So like I said, it was either 7 or 9 years ago. So we'll put her in the ballpark of 57 to 59 years old, which I think is accurate because we have another really good friend of ours amongst that group who is 7 years older than me, or like 6.5 years old. And so, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense that she would be in the ballpark of 57 to 59. So back then at this time, she was 50 and she walked by a table of probably 8 to 10 young women who were in their 20s. And it looked like they were really super dressed up. They looked really cute. And it looked like they may have been celebrating something. I don't know if it was like a bachelorette or something of that nature. I honestly don't remember all of the details. I just remember they were dressed up really, really nice and looked cute. And my friend, as we were walking out, stopped because this table was literally right by the front door. The place as we were walking out. And she just made a comment about like how beautiful all the girls looked and to enjoy this period of life. And I will also say she had children who were in that like area of life, one who was in college and one who had just graduated college, just telling them to like enjoy it and make the most of it because this time is like short lived. And if that had happened to me, I would have been like, thank you so much. Like, I have always appreciated the wisdom of people that were older than me. And it's not that I can say like, I didn't find like, especially in my late teens, early 20s, like older people annoying sometimes, because yes, that could be the case because of, I'm going to call it out, immaturity, because it is immaturity and just where you are in life. Like you're very egocentric and think you know everything. And then as you get older, you realize you don't, which is why you could not pay me. You couldn't pay me to go back to that age. I would not go back to before 40, like 40, 45. Like I'm so much more comfortable with who I am and my place in life. But anyways, back to these girls like kind of like laughed at her and like started making fun of her. And we were just like, it was kind of funny as we walked out the door because it showed who these girls were. Obviously, I would say if they were presenting the way they were like more about being superficial and like liked by their friends and thinking that they were cool because that is what they presented as, right? And we just walked out the door and we were kind of laughing. We were laughing, you know, at how they were behaving, not laughing at them, but laughing at how they were behaving and how it was funny how hopefully maybe with a few of them, they'll look back on that and think like, how silly was I? How silly was I to behave that way when somebody was just being kind, you know, being kind and sharing some wisdom? Because that's how I would have felt if I was in that situation. it's really, really interesting. But it just, it's so just like, it says so much because like, I remember even when I was in that age group, I still valued the opinions of people who are older than me. I will be the, like I said before, first to admit that like when things came from my parents or certain other like adults in my life that I didn't fully respect, maybe, you know, I might have been like, whatever, or rolled my eyes. But even sometimes when I rolled my eyes, I would still think through what they said to me. So it wasn't a complete loss. So it was just, it's very interesting to think about that. And in a couple of podcasts, I think it's going to be two. I think we are on episode 19. I think episode 21 is going to be a podcast. We're going to be diving into that, some of that space of being younger and being immature and the ego and basically things of that nature. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but that's what we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to be interviewing a guest, and it's going to be a very interesting and special podcast. So keep your eyes out for that, or ears, I should, eyes and ears, eyes if you're on YouTube, ears if you're just listening. But yeah, that one's going to be a really interesting. So let's get into what authenticity is and what it's not. So we talked about what it actually, the definition, you know, the dictionary definition is being true to one's own personality, spirit, or character, right? And so let's unpack that a second. The first big thing that I want to talk about is authenticity, just like you as a person, it's not static. It is being true to yourself as this version of you, right? And you can evolve. So just like when I was young or talking about those girls, they were probably being pretty true to who they are. And hopefully, you know, you hope that you grow up from that standpoint, but they were being authentic, just like my friend was being authentic, right? They were being authentic at their place in life. And granted, there was probably 25 years between the two of them. And it showed in that interaction, right? And that's not to say you can't have like 20 somethings that, you know, young 20 somethings that are the opposite of that, because that's true. I mean, I have friends who are, I always say like 27 to 77, because it's true. I've got some friends who are like in that late 20s, mid to late 20s group. And I have some friends who are in their 70s, and I value and appreciate all of them for the points of view that they share with me, the fact that they share their whole selves with me, the fact that they're all open to continually doing the work and evolving, which is what we're talking about in this point. That's huge. And I don't discount their age because they're, you know, 20 years or 30 years older than me, or 20 or 30 years younger than me. You know, you can have wisdom at any age, but it will evolve over time, which is like why I said you couldn't pay me to go back before like probably 40 or 45, because you just don't have enough, like in my opinion, right? You gain so much wisdom and so much knowing if you're doing the work and you just have like the slightest bit of awareness. So yeah, to go back to, I mean, go back to that point, it's not static. It's not a one moment in time. You know, it is literally healing and self-growth are a lifelong process. That in and of itself makes authenticity inherently a lifelong process too. That's really, really important because, and this is where the social media or online version of authenticity makes it diluted, because people will be like, oh, she's not being authentic. She, you know, or he's not showing up, you know, as his authentic self. Well, what if that person is growing? What if that person is changing their mind? What if that person is in a process or a season of life where things look messy? It's okay, right? Think about this. Who you thought you were at 5 years old or 17 years old or 23 years old is very, very different who you are than who you are today. And I would bet on that. Like, it's funny because my husband has said to me, he'll be like, I'm still the person that you met, like we ended up getting together. And I'm like, no, you're not. That person was in graduate school. And no, you're not, because we were very different people back then. And our priorities were different. And our views on life are different. he is an amazing person, and he and I have both grown a lot. We've grown as individuals and we have grown together. And that is something that makes our relationship very strong because of that. Because even when one of us is down, and we've had our ups and downs, right? When one of us is down, we support the other person. And that's not to say it looks perfect, because it sure as heck doesn't. It is messy, but it's a process, and we're there for each other, and we come out stronger on the other end. And that's really, really important. That's also another teaser for that episode, two episodes from now. We're going to dive into that, because this showed up as like us speaking our authentic truth, or I should say me speaking my authentic truth on the podcast, has showed up as shade for him. We're gonna dive into that. That's why, you know, season 2, episode 21 is going to be very important and interesting and fun to unpack. So just again, it's going to be really, really interesting. I don't want to like dive too much into any of this, because we're going to be talking about that stuff in two episodes. So then we're going to talk about now the second point. This, what I was just talking about, is a perfect segue. It does not mean, being authentic doesn't mean you cannot make mistakes and you won't make mistakes, because you will, because we are human, and that is part of the human condition, is being flawed, not being perfect, and that's okay. But the really, really important piece is that you own it, right? Don't try to avoid it. Don't try to shy away from it. Just own it. We all make mistakes. That is something that I'm really trying to teach my kids right now. Like, they had a big mess up yesterday. My daughter was at Target. We were getting some groceries, and she bought this little toy thing. She has some money she earned from her report card. So she bought this thing, and I thought it was pretty benign, but it wasn't. When we got back to the car, my husband and I were in Costco at that point, and we got back out, and there was like this gluey stuff, pink glue, stuck to the side of my car. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And what I said to the kids, we were frustrated. So we said something to them, and they both got really upset. And they're like, oh, I'm so ridiculous. I'm stupid. I'm this, I'm that. I'm like, no, you're not. And like, what I want you to say is, I made a mistake. And I made them both say, I made a mistake, right? Because I want them to get used to owning mistakes and being honest. Because when you're honest with yourself and you own your mistakes, people will respect you more than the person who hides things and lies about it. And if you are somebody who tends to do that, if you don't own your mistakes, just start trying to own it, because it erodes at your authenticity, and it erodes at your self-worth when you lie, avoid, hide, all of those things. So just a quick tip, you know, if you are somebody who does tend to do that, just try to own it. If there's like a situation that comes up and you did something, just take the step to try to own it, because you will feel better about yourself, and it will literally shift how your subconscious mind views you and how you view yourself. So yeah, like I said, being authentic doesn't mean you can't and won't make mistakes, because you will. But the important part is, you know, just own it. And people will want to call you out on it and try to take you down. Just let them do that, because it's them. That is them, not you. So let's move on to, there's like a 7-step inventory that I use with people to kind of assess how authentic you are right now, how authentic you're presenting, and uncover areas you can focus on if you're not in alignment with who you authentically are. So the first one is identifying the beliefs and patterns that kind of those ingrained patterns that no longer serve you. Understanding the roots of these current belief systems can help you move forward. Look inward and see what resonates. Like, what are the beliefs that you have that you sometimes find yourself questioning? Or sometimes, like, when your parents say something to you as an adult, like, what makes you roll your eyes? It's just kind of funny. Like, those are like, you know, the most of us get our belief systems from our parents or whoever the dominant adults were in our lives from, you know, kind of birth to age 5 or 6. So revisit that. See what beliefs you were given, what is in alignment with you and what is not. So that's a good place to start. And it can actually be a pretty big area to tackle. So I suggest like giving yourself some time with that one. The next one is, what are you jealous of or triggered by in others? We've talked a lot about that mirror, right? Those are usually the biggest learning opportunities for us, because when you're jealous, jealousy and being triggered are very similar. They're probably, you know, coming from the same place subconsciously. But, you know, what are you jealous of? What are you triggered by? Because that is identifying an area of growth for you. Usually when, like I've said this before, when you don't like something about somebody, or there's somebody who just like inherently just really annoys you or bothers you, it's probably something internally in yourself that you don't like. You know, that shadow, the things that we kind of hide from our own subconscious minds because we don't like that about ourselves. So when you see somebody out in real life that is expressing that, it is like a form of you judging yourself. So look at those as opportunities to identify where you could have some growth and get yourself back in alignment. The third one is, do you put others before yourself? That's a big one, because if you're doing that, that means you're not honoring yourself, which is not authentic. You're not being true to yourself. You need to love yourself and prioritize yourself to be in that authentic space. The next one is, do you quiet yourself or suppress your feelings and opinions to please others, spare their feelings, not cause trouble or rock the boat, or fear rejection? That if you don't speak your voice or suppress your feelings for any of those reasons, again, you're not being true to yourself and you're not being authentic. And that one is really hard. That one, I will say, was probably the biggest one for me to overcome over time. And it wasn't with everybody. It ended up being with some of the people that were the closest to me. I had no problem doing it with like other people, or even people who were close to me, but like not like super close. I would say people like, and I hate the term inner circle, but like the people who are closest to me. So it's going to be like close relatives, right? So that was one of the hardest places for me to really authentically speak my voice. But I started doing it like with every single human being at the end of last year. And now I can't suppress it. And that's not to say that I'm speaking my truth, and I'm always doing it in a tactful way. And I will say this too. Here's another little nuance. Sometimes you don't need to blurt it out right in the moment, because you might be fueling the fire. It's an art to know when to bring things up. So maybe you just leave it in that moment, but a couple of hours later, you bring it up and you say, hey, this is how I felt in the moment. I think it's important for you to know. And then you have like a rational discussion about it and a heartfelt discussion about it, rather than coming from a place of being either triggered or angry or trying to like project or deflect or denial or any of those types of things, like those types of responses when you're kind of in an emotional moment. Or even, I would say, like, for example, with kiddos, like sometimes my kids say stuff. I will say most of the time now they don't really hurt my feelings. Sometimes they do. Sometimes things they say hurt my feelings, but a lot of the times it doesn't. But if it does, I try not to like blurt it out right in the moment. Like, they're having their meltdown and they're saying stuff and be like, oh, you're hurting my feelings. Cause I feel like that fuels the fire and also hurts them. So I will say, I'll let them have their moment and have their feelings. And then later on, when we talk about it, I'll be like, hey, you know, what you said hurt my feelings. And they're emotionally detached from that moment, so that me saying that to them doesn't like fuel the fire. Or add insult to injury. I don't want to make things worse or make them feel worse than they already do in that moment. So think about that. You know, there's a time and a place to express your feeling. Number 5 if you don't like being alone. If you don't like being alone, that's a big one. Like, if you don't like being alone, that means there's probably something about yourself that is making you anxious or you don't like. So again, that's another kind of like box to check. You know, if you don't like being alone, what are the things? Why don't you like being alone? Do you feel anxious? Do you ruminate? Are there a lot of like thoughts going through your head? Do you not like just allowing for your thoughts and feelings to be? Are you uncomfortable sitting with your feelings? These are all areas you can work on. Are you codependent in relationships? This kind of alludes to the point that we were just at, but like being codependent and putting your happiness in, like making somebody else responsible for your happiness, again, not true to yourself. That one's pretty self-explanatory. But if you are codependent, that means that you're, again, not comfortable with yourself. And it kind of harkens to our last point, point number seven, you don't trust yourself. And this is one where it doesn't, some people inherently know, like we'll be having a conversation when I'm working with somebody and I'll say, you know, do you trust yourself? And they get that internal ping. Like they know that there's something inside that they don't trust. But for some people, it's not that simple. It's not the level of awareness that they don't trust themselves. So that might be something that you figure out later on. Like I've had clients and patients that I work with have that realization where they're like, as we're going, you know, through a lot of the stuff we're talking about right now, they're like, oh, I really don't trust myself. But that was not something that was really on their radar at the beginning. Right. So it's something that might be inherently, it's a knowing that you have to some degree. And it also might be something that you discover along the way in this journey of finding authenticity. So that's a seven-step inventory you can use to assess kind of how authentic you are in the moment. And like I said, uncover some areas that you can focus on to get back into alignment and get on that path of being authentic. Like what I said before, authenticity is just a part of the process. And I would say it's more of a byproduct of doing the work, of doing the inner work, because that's how I feel like I finally got comfortable in my own skin fully and discovered, you know, my authentic self and my voice. It was doing all of the work and letting go of the masks and letting go of the validations and needing to, that feeling the need to be seen by certain people or like showing up as the version of myself that they thought I was. I let go of all of that. And now when people try to project that onto me, like my body physically rejects it. So it's like, I know that I am standing in my authenticity, but I'm also going to say like, I know that my authentic self is evolving. I mean, it shows up in my interactions with people. It shows up in my closet, in my house, things like decor related things. Like I'll get rid of that, you know, clothing, people in my life, like people who are just not, I still have friends from different stages of life, but sometimes they're like, sometimes it's what was a good friendship becomes a friendship that is much more, I don't want to say superficial, but it's not deep and very attached anymore. It's like, yes, you are a friend and you're part of my journey, but you're also not the person who I'm going to confide in, right? This is an evolution too of who you authentically are. The last thing, the last main point we are going to talk about today is the hidden truth about authenticity that people ignore, but makes a huge, huge difference on your journey. And it's interesting because it is mourning or grief. And we've talked about that a lot recently in the past, you know, several months on the podcast, because authenticity requires mourning. And this is huge because this is what I was doing at the end of last year. And I just had the realizations that this was part of the process and I didn't use these words, but it just, you know, thinking about this podcast, it came to me. You have to grieve the person you thought you were supposed to be, right? The life you thought you were going to have, or the life that you thought you were supposed to want, the, you know, the approval you thought you needed. I just, you know, I kind of just spoke to this. It's like the grieving of this. It's, you know, somebody used the analogy. It's like slowly letting the air out of a balloon you've been carrying for years and years. The analogy I use in my work is, you know, the hot air balloon. You're this hot air balloon and you're stuck on the ground because all the sandbags are still attached. But as you release them one by one, the emotional baggage, the expectations, the validation, the desires, you know, all of the masks, the facades, all of it. As you release all of this, you get to become who you were. I always say, and what I do, it's full circle, coming back to who you are. And then you can rise, you can soar through the sky like that beautiful hot air balloon. And like, it's literally when you're going through this, every tear you shed in that mourning process and that grief, every tear you shed, every exhale, every sigh, it makes room for who you really are. And it's aligned. You feel at home. I think you guys heard after that healing retreat I was at, Rise Up, that experience, that was one of the messages I got. I was like, I'm home. I wrote that down after one of the workshops we went through. Like, I wrote down, I'm home, because you feel it. You feel it in your bones. You feel it deeply in your soul. So that was what I was going to say, the mourning process, because as you're going through this process of growth and discovery and release and, you know, really identifying who you are authentically, you need to mourn those past versions of you and those expectations and let them go, because that will allow you to fully emerge as your true authentic self. And so just in closing and in the end, I would love to invite you to, depending upon where you are on your journey, you know, go through that inventory, that, like I just said, that 7-step inventory. And if you're kind of at the beginning or you're confused, go through that inventory and just start going one by one. What are the things you need to work on? And tell me, I would love to hear, write in the comments, tell me or send me a message. Like I said, I mean, all of my information is on Facebook and it's all on the podcast main page. Reach out to me. It's in the show notes too. Reach out. Tell me like where you are. I love hearing from people. I love it when you guys let me know where you are, if things resonate for you, if things aren't resonating, if you want to hear more about certain topics. Love hearing from you guys. So like I said, I invite you to kind of check out that 7-step inventory that we walked through. Also, a lot of those questions are in the stored emotions and trauma quiz. They're in the very last section, because that section of it is really kind of getting into how stored emotions and trauma show up in your life and your relationships and your authentic you, not just the kind of physical, biochemical, and, you know, kind of other relational aspects of it. It like kind of shows up as like how you behave, the behavioral aspect of it. So that's on there too. And if you've already been on this journey, I would love to hear how it looked for you. Did you mourn? Did you mourn your past versions of your authentic self? Have you embraced who you are now? Do you find that it feels good to be authentic? Because for some people, it's not always inherently positive at the beginning. It can be a little jarring because it is so different than who they thought they were or what people thought they should be. So in any case, sending you all lots of love. And until next time, I can't wait to hear from you.
If you made it this far, I truly appreciate you. Remember, knowledge is just the beginning. Taking action is what truly sparks change. If you're overwhelmed and don't have enough energy to make it through the day, I invite you to book a free 20-minute coaching call with me. It's a no-obligation chat where we can discuss your health goals and how I might be able to help you achieve them. Visit the link in the episode description to book that call. Until next time, keep striving for wellness, and remember, you have the power to not just survive, but thrive in motherhood.